introduce the first of tonight's speakers, Duncan.
Thank you, Steve.
Hi, yeah, my name's Duncan, I'm an addict.
Hi, Duncan.
Right, where should I start? Yeah, it's really good to see so many people. The NA, my sort of NA, is quite small, small groups in Hampshire and Surrey, and it's fantastic coming up here and just seeing and feeling at home, being in a completely different place, but feeling at home, seeing some, you know, people just being warm and friendly. I'd say I'll talk about, you know, I'm not going to talk about my childhood because I don't really believe it has much effect. I think you can get quite emotional about things that happen in your childhood, and addicts will treat that emotion with drugs. But I think I had a fairly normal childhood and it was quite happy, I think. But what happened in my sort of, I don't know, similar age to most other people, I discovered drugs and alcohol, and I found that they could be a fantastic solution when I had feelings I couldn't deal with, I could turn to them. And they would block out those emotions for long enough, you know, long enough for me to feel normal again. I've learned so much now I've come into NA, and there's a lot of things I didn't really understand about myself. When somebody first told me that I probably had a disease of addiction, and started talking about it in that way, that was amazing. I felt so much better because all of a sudden so many things made sense that had happened to me. I know that, I suppose when I was 19, I remember going out clubbing with friends, really overdoing it. I remember having, you know, proper sort of psychosis because I wouldn't really do it. I mean, I suppose we're all doing it to excess, but I would take it one stage further. And I couldn't handle it. That was the thing. I couldn't deal with it. I would think the solution, you know, when I came down was maybe to do more. And yeah, I think when I was 19, that was probably the first time I had sort of proper, you know, sort of hallucinations, psychosis, paranoia. And I remember around that age, I thought I'd stop for a while, and I sort of went back to just smoking weed and drinking for a very long time. And a lot of hecticness in my youth, I just sort of calmed down. That's how it felt. I really calmed down. And in my 20s, I got a permanent job. I was working in the bank, and I was using the money. But I would basically get paid, go out, you know, do things to excess, go back to work. And I really didn't like my job or anything like that. But I didn't really care about that because when I came out of work, I could go out and party and forget about all that stuff. And I got better and better at sort of living in this fantasy world almost, where I could daydream the whole day away. Because that wasn't, it didn't feel like that was my life. I was wishing my life away, I suppose. I was watching the clock go around, waiting for the evening. But even then, in my 20s, with what I thought was this fairly stable lifestyle, I was still doing things, I was still smoking a lot of weed. I was growing weed at home, so I had quite, you know, a good supply of it. And I remember the paranoia started kicking in even in my sort of 20s, and it was really weird. It was really weird, and there was a point, I think, where it crossed over from, I was used to it when I went out clubbing and then had, you know, people following me or something like that, or people talking about me. That was all right when I come down there. I could sort of, I wasn't all right, but I could deal with it. And that started to cross over. I remember walking into work one morning, it's a beautiful sunny morning, coming out of the car in the car park, going up to the office. It's this big office, like this head office, this place, swiping in, and there were people following me. I thought, there's people following me to work. It sort of crossed over. It crossed over from like just going out in the evening, and my whole life started to turn, I don't know, there was a lot of fear basically everywhere. I was always brought up, if you worked hard, that's what you strive to do. You strive to have a good job, a wife and children and a house and a car and, you know, play happy families. That's basically what I thought life was about. And when things didn't go that way, I thought I wasn't trying hard enough, or maybe I wasn't good enough. So what I had to do was try harder. It didn't work. It didn't work because I would just get more and more stressed, and I wouldn't be able to deal with that. And more and more the drugs that I sort of had caused a psychosis when I was younger I started to use those again. And there was a point where, let me think, it's probably 7 or 8 years ago, I got a new job, and I thought things had changed a little bit. But around that time, I discovered my friends were getting older, and the people who I'd hung around with when I was younger seemed to be doing other things. They were having children, they were moving abroad, they were having, you know, normal lives. And I was still doing the same stuff I'd been doing since I was 19. I still had a pretty rubbish job. I was still just, you know, I never had any money because I had to blow all my money straight away. I couldn't manage anything. I certainly couldn't. My life was definitely unmanageable. And I remember I got a new job, and I got a bit more money. And around that time, I discovered other drugs. I was into party drugs, but I discovered ketamine, which was a big thing for me. And when I discovered that, I never got into heroin, but when I've spoken to people now in NA, it rings. There's a lot of different, you know, a lot of similarities between these drugs. And, it was a tranquilizer, basically. And I think, like lots of people, I got into that through the sort of party scene. It was great to come down on. I wouldn't worry about anything when I took it. But as soon as I discovered that, I wanted more and more. I wanted more and more. And somehow I managed to hold my job together. And a lot of my friends are amazed, I think, because I'd go out the weekend, I'd have crazy nights out. And then I'd be like, right, I'm going to work tomorrow. And these guys probably wouldn't even work. And I would turn up. And not surprisingly, wasn't very good at what I did. But I could never tie the two together. I could never tie the fact that my life wasn't going anywhere to the fact that I went out and I got obliterated on whatever I could find. I started picking up Valium, and I developed quite a habit, basically. And I found I could completely anaesthetise myself from what was going on around me. And I ended up in a situation with work, which was a big thing in my life at the time. This is a couple of years ago, where I was going home. I was taking drugs. As soon as I got home, I'd buy a bottle of brandy on the way home, and I was doing legal highs as a drug called MXE, which was like ketamine. I was taking that, very strong drug. And I was taking that as soon as I got in. And then sort of 2 a.m. I'd start to take the Valium to knock myself out so I could get up for work the next morning. And it's got to a point where the only thing I noticed was I kept hitting my car on things and pulling into work. I remember one day somebody came up to me and he said, "Do you realise you just reversed into like this lady's car who works in the next office?" And I went, "Oh." He said, "You're on CCTV doing it, ain't you?" I was like, shit. And so I had to pay out quite a lot of money. I had to pay for his car to get it clean, you know, sorted out. But that got more and more extreme. And as I couldn't deal with it less and less and less, I took more and more drugs. And it was this real downward spiral. And, it got to a point where, I mean, this is the craziest sort of thing that happened to me, I suppose, is that I turned up at work one morning, and I can't really remember what happened, but there was a guy sitting next to me. You know, I was working, I was an analyst, I was working in a suit, you know, and this guy came up, I was sitting at this desk, and this guy came up to me and said, "Don't worry about it, we've called a paramedic." I said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "Oh, just stay calm, we've called a paramedic." And apparently I turned up and I hadn't made any sense to anybody, and I'd just been a wreck, you know, a complete wreck. I'd been getting very small amounts of sleep, you know, a minimum, I don't know, half an hour sleep sometimes in the night. And, yeah, so I was in this crazy position where I was in the kitchen of this office on a stretcher with the guys putting the, you know, the contact things on you to do the heart checks, and being wheeled off in an ambulance. And I remember being in the hospital saying, I don't really, you know, what's happened to me? Why am I here? I didn't understand it. And nobody said to me, you know, you're a drug addict, or you've got a drug problem, or, you know, anything like that. I remember sitting next to this guy. There was an old guy who'd had his heart attack that morning, this old guy, and I said, I don't know why I'm here. He said, I don't really know why, you know, I didn't know why he was here. So yeah, that was sort of a downfall around work, and that work had kept me going. And when that stopped, I really fell apart, I suppose. I didn't have to get up at any time anymore, and my using got really extreme. I'm conscious of a fairly short time, so I'm gonna basically my using got more and more extreme. I started injecting drugs. And I just got completely out of control around all that stuff. And I ended up, again, about a year later, having another point where I was lying on my floor. I was going to die, basically. I knew I was going to die. I was horrendously thin. I was going to die, and I knew I had to do something about it. And I remember this thing going through my head, which basically said that you can change. You can do something about this. I can live my life differently. I thought, I can do this, and I can do my life differently. I'm not going to go back to doing any of that stuff again. And I was admitted into a hospital, and basically they turned me on to LA. And I started going to meetings, and that desperation that I had, I found other people who could help me. Caring people who'd been where I'd been. And it was exactly what I needed. I still can't deal with a lot of sort of NHS or corporate stuff, anything like that. It doesn't work for me. But people in here, the real people. And you're honest. And that's what I needed. And it took me a while. I was in and out for a little while. I was still going home and using Valium when I'd come to meetings. And it was when I got a sponsor, that was the thing. Because I thought, I've got to be honest, I wasn't counting the days, and I'd never picked up any key rings. I thought, it's going to be a bit suspicious, you know, and I just had to stop. But yeah, I'm now working steps, and things are just changing my life so much. I'm feeling, the sort of confidence in myself is growing over this last year, and I've made some really good friends in LA. I've, you know, some fantastic friends. I can go along to a meeting. There are people there I know, and I can talk. There's something going on in my life. I can't turn to anybody else. I'm not going to turn to my parents or, you know, people like that to talk about it, because it's just, I don't know. I feel maybe they wouldn't understand. Walking to a meeting, I can tell somebody something really dark, deep. I think it's like secret, basically. It's some secret. I want to keep it secret. I can walk in and I can start to talk to somebody about it. And by being open, other people will be open with me about how they have the same problems I have dealing with life, basically. And that makes me feel better. And I'm just really glad that from that world of fear and darkness, that I've managed to find a place where I can get help, where people will help me. And I feel I'm going to be able to fulfil, you know, live a fulfilling life and be all I could be, you know, all I can be. That's really all I've got to say, I think. So I just want to thank everyone really for letting me come here. That went incredibly quickly. So thanks very much. Cheers.